Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's just open our time in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful morning, Lord God. We just thank you. We can come together and just share in your word, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for that your mercies are new every morning. May the word that we share today be a blessing to all the brothers and sisters here. And yeah, we just thank you for who you are. So we love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Psalm 121. So I'll be reading from the ESV version. My help comes from the Lord, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So just to give you a bit of background on Psalm 121. So after Psalm 120, this is actually the second in a series of 15 psalms, which are titled A Song of Ascents. So most scholars assume that ascents refers to pilgrimages to Jerusalem, ascend or going up being the technical term for a pilgrimage. And as you read Psalm 121, you do have that sense that the psalmist is on a journey somewhere. So Psalm 121 is commonly known as the soldier psalm because people can imagine David writing this psalm from a tent while he's out in the wild. Or it's also known as the traveler psalm. That is a song sung by travelers during a journey. And it's often used to bless those who are about to embark on a journey or are in the midst of a journey. So some of you might know the famous missionary and explorer to Africa, David Livingstone. He actually read Psalm 121 with his father and his sister before setting out for Africa. His mother-in-law, when writing to David, actually mentioned that it was Psalm 121, which she thought about when she prayed for him. So I was drawn to share on Psalm 121 today, as all of us are on some kind of journey where there's uncertainty, where there are unknowns, where there are potential dangers. So we may not be physically walking through the desert heat to go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, but we are all on some sort of journey where the path is not without its challenges. For some of you, it could be a physical journey, perhaps a decision to move somewhere. It could be uncertainty with health. As mentioned over the last few weeks, we have soon-to-be mothers who are experiencing very complicated pregnancies. For others, it could be mental health or an emotional journey. So, for example, it could be dealing with highs and lows of relationships with others, as touched upon by Pastor Kenny last week. It could be stress from work or financial situations. It could be uncertainty about the economy, about society, about COVID. Or it could also be a spiritual journey that we're challenged with. It could be dealing with sin or learning to overcome self-doubt, insecurity. The point is there's always aspects of our lives where we are being challenged, where we are facing difficulties. And my prayer for us today as we go through the psalm is that the Lord will encourage and reveal to us that in whatever journey that we are on right now, whether it's at high point or low point or anywhere in between, that he is keeping us under his cover every step of the way. So just to give you a bit of background on how the psalm is structured, the psalm is actually effectively structured into two parts. So you have verses 1 to 2, which involves a question and a response. And then the remaining verses, verses 3 to 8, which is a blessing, reminding us of the character of God. In verse 1, it says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? For me, it evokes a picture of a traveler who's making his way towards Jerusalem, dealing with fatigue, having to suffer the desert heat during the day and the desert cold during the night. He's in the wilderness. The traveler's susceptible not just to the elements, but also to the danger from wild animals, from predators, from bandits. The journey is full of unknowns, full of known and unknown dangers that the traveler will need to contend with along his journey. It is conceivable that it is in this context that the traveler asks the question, from where does my help come from? Brothers and sisters, just take a moment to reflect and ask yourself this. What are your greatest fears, threats, obstacles that you are facing now? And are these fears, threats, obstacles preventing you from taking another step? The psalmist could easily be crippled by the unknown and stop heading where he needs to go. But he has the courage to take the next step when he answers his own question by proclaiming that my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, if you're facing a hill or a mountain in your life right now that you're worried you can't overcome, that you're worried that even if you can overcome, you don't know what dangers you would then have to face, that there's a potential risk of failure, that it seems like there are no powers on this earth that can adequately help you at this time, I pray that you and I will refocus our sights towards God, the God who the psalmist explicitly reminded us made heaven and earth. That means he made everything in this world. The God who is all-powerful, the God who wants to help you and who cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The enemy wants to keep you focused on the sorrows, on the negative, on the fear. But as Charles Spurgeon mentioned, the purposes of God, the divine attributes, the immutable promises, the covenant, ordered in all things and sure, the providence, predestination, and proved faithfulness of the Lord. These are the hills to which we must lift up our eyes. For them, these our help must come. It is our resolve that we will not be bandaged and blindfolded, but will lift up our eyes. Brothers and sisters, I pray that our eyes will not be focused on just the hills or the mountains before us, but we turn our gaze towards the only hill that matters, to Calvary, where Jesus died on the cross to help us, to save us. As we continue through verses 3 through 8, these are a reminder of God's character and what he will do along the psalmist and our own journey. One term that you will continually see appear in verses 3 to 8 is the word shamar in Hebrew, which is translated into keep or keeper in the ESV version, or is also translated to protect or guard in some of the other translations. In the ESV version, which I just read from, the word keep or keeper is actually repeated 6 times in the space of the 6 verses. So pretty much in every verse except for verse 6, this is a continual reminder that God will watch over his people as a watchman would watch over a city or a group of travelers. Rereading verses 3 to 4, it says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. It's a powerful image of what God is doing in our lives. First, the psalmist proclaims that God will not let your foot be moved. In other words, no matter how tired, how weary a traveler is along in his journey, If we ask God for help, he won't let us slip or falter. You may be on a dusty, rocky road, but God will keep you upright. We can stand fast in the face of the unknown. Secondly, while God is protecting you, guarding you, he does not slumber or sleep. So if you think of a watchman watching over a city or a watchman watching over a group of travelers, if it's a human watchman, the watchman is bound to tire, is bound to fatigue, is bound to waver in his vigilance in protecting over his group or his city. But there's no moment in the day, there's no moment in our lives that God is not watching over us. As the psalm continues, verse 5 and 6, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. I remember when I joined the SP Israel trip years ago, there are parts of the trip, so Masada Fortress comes to mind in particular, where the sun was so incredibly aggressive that I stuck to my wife as much as possible in order to enjoy the shade under her parasol. And when I read these verses, it reminds me that God is not a distant God, as if God is standing right next to you, that he can physically shield you from the sun's rays. And for those of you wondering why in verse 6, a traveler would need to be shielded from the moon at night, there's a thinking in many cultures that there is a danger of moonstroke, which is the idea that this, if you have too much exposure to moonlight, it could be dangerous and could cause madness. And this is where we get the word lunacy from. Verses 5 to 6 is ultimately a reminder that he protects us from visible dangers during the day and also invisible threats at night, reinforcing that he protects us at all times. And finally, in verses 7 to 8, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. It's such a comfort to hear these words. At the climax of this psalm, the Lord reinforces his promise to us, to you, to all his sons and daughters, that the Lord will keep you from all evil. Not just some evil, but all evil. God's power is greater than whatever darkness or difficulties that we may be facing. The Lord will keep your life, your soul. The Lord will keep your coming and going forevermore. From the moment you began your journey to the moment you return home, he will protect you. Actually, when I was researching and preparing for this devotional, I came across I read that actually Psalm 121 is often posted on in the delivery rooms for Jewish families when they're about to give birth, because it's supposed to be for God's mercy and protection over the birth of the child. And Psalm 121 is often also put on the baby carriages or in the baby's room to start already educating the baby from the moment the baby begins his journey in life. So no matter the danger, the uncertainty, the stress, the anxiety, the fear, the pain, the worry that we are going through, just remember that he is watching us over us. He's been watching over us since the beginning of whatever journey we are on. Does this mean there will be no bumps along the way? Does it mean in our journey that you will face no trials, no tribulations? No, it does not. But it does mean you are armed, that you can count on the Lord to fight your battles with you and to defend you. Eugene Peterson puts it this way: the Christian life is not a quiet escape to a garden where we can walk and talk uninterruptedly with our Lord, nor a fantasy trip to a heavenly city where we can compare blue ribbons and gold medals with others who have made it to the winner's circle. The Christian life is going to God. In going to God, Christians travel the same ground that everyone else walks on, breathe the same air, drink the same water, shop in the same shops, read the same newspapers, are citizens under the same governments, pay the same prices for groceries and gasoline, fear the same dangers, are subject to the same pressures, get the same distresses, are buried in the same ground. The difference is that each step we walk, each breath we breathe, we know we are preserved by God. We know we are accompanied by God. We know we are ruled by God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure or what accidents we experience, the Lord will preserve us from evil. He will keep our life. It is because of this confidence that we have in God's character, that of God's presence, that we can continue our journeys and face any dangers and face any unknowns. As we move into a time of worship, I would just want to share an anecdote that I came across in Spurgeon's commentary, which goes like this. A number of years ago, a captain commanded a vessel sailing from Liverpool to New York. And in one voyage, he had all his family with him on board the ship. One night, when all were quietly asleep, there arose a sudden squall of wind, which came sweeping over the waters until it struck the vessel and instantly threw her on her side, tumbling and crashing everything that was movable and awakening the passengers to a consciousness they were in imminent peril. Everyone on board was alarmed and uneasy, and some sprang from their berth and began to dress, that they may be ready for the worst. The captain had a little girl on board, just 8 years old, who of course awoke with the rest. "What's the matter?" said the frightened child. They told her a squall had struck the ship. She asks, "Is father on deck?" "Yes, father's on deck." The little thing dropped herself on her pillow again without a fear, and in a few moments was sleeping sweetly in spite of the winds or waves. Going back to the earlier question that I asked, what are your greatest fears, your greatest threats, your greatest obstacles that you are facing right now? And are these fears, threats, obstacles preventing you from taking another step? As Pastor Ernie sings the worship song over us, talk to God, share your struggles with your Heavenly Father. "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." When you've laid your struggles at the Lord's feet and is looking him to him for help, know that you can be like that little girl in the story, having perfect peace in the midst of the storm, because she has complete faith and trust that her Father is at the helm of the ship, navigating her through the dangers. Your Heavenly Father is at the helm of yours. God keeps you. He never tires. He has been with you in the past. He's with you in the present, and he'll be with you in the future.
Abide in me. I am longing for you. Hide me in your love, bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise on eagle's wing. Here I am waiting, Lord. Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you, Lord. Hide me.
Let's turn to our community prayer. So let's first just lift up all our brothers and sisters and friends and family who are battling with cancer, and also all those who are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. So let's take a moment to lift all them up. Let's turn to the next slide. Let's lift up all our friends and family who are suffering from various ailments, but also need a word of salvation in their lives. So let's just pray that God will move powerfully in their lives during this time. Next slide, please. So let's lift up all our brothers and sisters in our community who are just suffering from different illnesses. Let's pray for just God to release his healing upon them. Let's lift up those who are looking for work. Let's pray for God to open the right doors for the journey they are on. Let's lift them up. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for SB New York. Let's pray for the leadership there, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's just pray for unity and just pray for all the members at SB New York. Let's also lift up for North Korea, pray for open doors for ministry, and pray for all missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia. And let's also take some time to lift up the persecuted churches, particularly in the Middle East. Let's lift up all our weekend gatherings, Sunday service, the well, SP Kids, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill services, activities, migrant worker classes, the word class, PMC, and all the various meetings that are happening this weekend. Just pray that each and every one of the activities will be guided by the Holy Spirit. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today, Hollywood, Mawan, and Southside. Just pray that it'll be a really powerful time as they share about relationships in the house church. And just pray that there'll be unity and there'll be good discussion and there'll be a meeting of the hearts and minds. Lift up all the pregnancies that are in our body right now. Some are complicated, some are less so. But let's lift up all the moms that are going through pregnancy right now. Vivian, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Mon, Yiling, Vicky, and all others. Let's just pray for protection over the mom, pray for just protection over the unborn baby. Finally, let's just lift up our city. We're quite blessed this week with, I think, no cases in the last few days. So just pray that people continue to be vigilant, pray for health for everyone in the city. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for this morning, Lord God. Thank you that whenever we're in distress, we're in trouble, that we can look to you for help, that you're a God that never tires, that you're a God that is constantly vigilant, that is constantly keeping over us. So as we enter into the rest of this weekend, I just want to pray a blessing over my friends today using verses 7 to 8. May the Lord keep you from all evil. May the Lord keep your lives. And may the Lord keep your going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for joining this morning. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye.